It's Here and Now, broadcasting from Michigan today during the presidential primary. But one of the biggest local political fights here is over schools. Yesterday, Alicia Merriweather was appointed interim superintendent. She grew up here, worked within the schools, and takes over a system that's $3.5 billion in debt and running out of cash fast, a fact that brought her to tears.
I love the city, and I love the school district. More than both of those, I love the children of the city of Detroit.
And on Sunday night, the state of the city's crumbling schools came up at CNN's Democratic presidential debate in Flint. Parent Shaniqua Kemp wanted answers.
We have issues with rats, mold, no working water fountains, not to mention non-certified teachers, lack of accountability around transportation, special education, and so much more.
Those are public schools, but there are private schools as well. And yesterday, Here Now's Peter O'Dowd went to a Catholic school for boys in one of the city's toughest neighborhoods where students are exceeding expectations.
Again, they form right angle.
It's late in the afternoon when I make an unexpected appearance in the doorway of Miss Rakestraw's 10th grade geometry class.
Everybody look at example two. Kevin, read it for me.
Example two says, three bushes are arranged in a garden, as shown. Where should you place a sprinkler so that it is the same distance from each bush?
How many people have in-ground sprinklers at their house? Anybody? Anybody know somebody that has in-ground sprinklers? So, this is a real-world situation.
One boy's head is slumped onto the desk. He's trying desperately to make it through the lesson.
Then what do we say? What happens when we bisect the two segments?
Make a right angle.
They make a right angle. So now we have right angles.
And with that, the day at Loyola High School is over. The boys rush out of class, jam books into their lockers, untuck their shirts, and roughhouse their way to the school's gym, where the first round of the state basketball championship is already underway.
Sometimes I feel like I was born here. I mean, I've been here ever since I was in the seventh grade with the, you know, beginning of the school when they were starting to find out the name and the colors and all of that. I was fortunate enough to be around even then.
Wyatt Jones III grew up in these halls because his father was an administrator in the school's early days. Jones graduated from Loyola. Now he's the principal at a school where every kid is poor enough to qualify for a free or reduced lunch.
Sometimes our students come in with one or two strikes already against them, whether that's socioeconomic, whether that's some social or behavioral issues that they come in with. But we put all those things to the side and tell them, hey, from this point forward, you have a clean slate to do your very best.
These boys wear ties to school.
Absolutely. And they don't really like it, but they do.
Loyola started back in the early 1990s when Detroit schools were struggling with another crisis. Black teenagers, especially boys, were dropping out of school at an alarming rate. The public school board thought opening academies just for boys would help, but the courts struck them down. The Catholic diocese stepped into that void, and Loyola's inaugural class opened in a basement with 43 students.
Does it feel like a similar time in Detroit public schools as it did in the early 90s when Loyola got started?
I think it's a different obstacle or situation, but just as in that time, I think it is a dire need for some change. And, you know, here at Loyola, we try and do our best to show our young men, as we should in the students in Detroit public school, that they deserve the very best facilities, teachers, and et cetera. So, unfortunately, the world is seeing what's happening right now.
So the kids come from many of them from difficult backgrounds, and yet they do very well. Your students are going to college.
Okay. For our last 6 years, we've had 100% graduation rate of students leaving from high school, as well as 100% of our students accepting to college or university.
100%.
100%.
We'll meet some of those students in a minute, but first I asked Jones how, in a city with schools in such disarray, he's able to get results like that.
It's very simple. No matter where our students are coming from or whatever backgrounds they have, we push our young men continuously to understand that failure is not an option. And so you are destined to be great because we're going to push you until you realize it yourself.
How many kids go here?
We have about 150 students here.
150 boys. It seems almost unfair when you think of the need across Detroit public schools that the 150 kids here, they've got a good opportunity. But you don't have seats for everybody.
Absolutely. We tell our students all the time that it is a privilege and an honor to go here. Unfortunately, we can't help all of society, but what we can do is fundamentally build leaders who will be able to go off and come back and help our city.
I pose this idea to a few of the students here. When you leave Loyola, will you come back to Detroit? And I think it's safe to say the two boys you're about to meet will someday be those leaders that Wyatt Jones III is talking about. Kyle Macbeth is a sophomore.
I'm a debater, and I live in Southfield. I grew up in Detroit.
Well, tell me about this debate team that you're on, because I hear you're pretty good.
Yes, I would like to say that I'm good. I'm going to Nationals this year, and that's in Salt Lake in Utah. Last year, I went to Yale for a national tournament.
So you're not pretty good. You're really good.
I think I am.
You going to college?
Of course, yes.
Where do you want to go?
I want to go to Princeton, but I would settle for Stanford or like UC Berkeley.
Those are pretty good schools.
I have pretty big ambitions.
I can tell.
My name is Okulisa Umokolo. I'm 16 years old. I go to Loyola High School.
And you're a senior?
Yes.
So you're a 16-year-old senior?
Yeah.
Okulisa, also a debater. He wants to be an anesthesiologist when he finishes college. Both boys live with one parent. Kyle's family has moved to the suburbs.
Well, my father, he is he owns a trucking business. My mom is deceased, though, but I feel like we had to move out of the city. We had to make certain sacrifices to get away from the crime. And that takes time and money that a lot of people don't have.
Okulisa's family installed video cameras at home in Detroit to keep the vandals away.
Try to keep ourselves safe from, you know, crimes that frequently happen in the city.
Both say they've had a pretty good childhood, but there's a big difference between them. Kyle vows to come back to Detroit. Okulisa will not.
I pretty much don't see a good future in the city from here. And I don't see much of a revival of the city. Like, it's pretty much how it was since I was a kid, you know.
So they say people are coming back, there's new shops and businesses in downtown Detroit, but for you, that's not your Detroit.
Yeah, it's really not it.
Kyle, what do you think when you hear Okulisa say that the city doesn't have the opportunity that he wants when he graduates from school? Yeah, let's have a debate.
Okay.
Convince him to come back.
Okay, well, we are the city of music, Motown. Many people have been made into superstars here. And I don't think...
But he wants to be an anesthesiologist.
I know. I'm getting to that. and I think if we can be that creative and make people that came from nothing to something, then we can bring the city from nothing to something. And what I feel like now, no one is actually doing anything to change this city. And... Well, they do things, but it's not really making any type of change. And the only way to make some type of change is for kids like us to actually come back and do the change. I understand, like, you want to be an anesthesiologist, but we need those in Michigan. We need those in Detroit. So why not come back to Detroit? There's money here to get if you're an anesthesiologist. There's hospitals that you can work at. I feel like that's a great opportunity for him to come back.
Okulisa, counterpoint.
Well, like what you said, you know, that wouldn't, like, make people come here and stay here and live here and, you know, pay taxes. And not a lot of people's ambition is in the arts. And, you know, some people actually want ordinary job, like working in a factory or being an engineer or, you know, being a pharmacist. And good music and good arts in the DIA is not going to make you, like, it's not going to make you endure the living standards here in Detroit.
No matter where adulthood takes these young men, both already appear to be well on their way. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Ann Arbor.
And Peter O'Dowd is now back with us in the Michigan Radio Studios. Yep. In Ann Arbor. And Peter, I can hear parents in Detroit saying, how do I get my kid in?
There's an admissions test. There's an interview process that you go in. You know, so it's a popular school. So
yeah. There's a way you have to – gauntlets you have to pass through. Also some costs.
Yeah, about $4,000 for tuition a year. Clearly it's more expensive than that, but that's what the students have to pay. About 90% of the kids are getting some kind of financial aid.
Yeah, but I know it was refreshing for you.
It was after traveling the country, going to so many states, talking about politics. It's nice to get into a high school, Robin.